This is the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge, outfitted by Iron Jock, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
This is the Jump Around 3.0. We are presented and outfitted by Iron Jock. Go to ironjock.com. You can get 40% off with their Black Friday deal, so go to ironjock.com. That's Iron Jock with a C. The Jump Around, outfitted by Iron Jock, and proud supporters of Badger Athletics, Badger players. Iron Jock has been, and also a supporter of the Jump Around, so we appreciate them. So be sure with your Black Friday shopping to check out ironjock.com. That's Iron Jock with a C. All right. So, Badger football, how are we feeling? The state of the Badger program, it does feel like it's in, I don't know if disarray is the right word. But I was out and about today. I am Jim Rutledge, primetime Wollershine behind the glass. And honestly, lots of questions about the Badgers aren't going to fire Fickell, right? And not that they didn't want him fired. It was more of like a, we can't do that, right? And no, from what I understand, I think you got a minimum of 2 more years of Coach Fickell here with that buyout number. But I think that allows us an opportunity to look forward, and we'll talk about all that looking forward in a minute. But these fire Fickell questions pop up because, well, the Badger fans are restless, especially after a disgusting performance against Nebraska. 44-25 was the loss. I don't care about Braden Locke looking serviceable. I mean, how much of that was not quite garbage time, but like was not meaningful? Like any of those, like one of those touchdowns meaningful through an interception? He's mid. He's just a fine backup.
He was mid plus in this game. Okay. Give him credit. He played a solid game.
Okay, but like I have a hard time getting credit when you've only scored 25 points and you're getting blown out 44-25.
Okay, well,
like by his standards, he was mid plus.
Yes, but everyone else on the team was horrible. So he looked pretty good in this game, relatively.
Horrible was the defense, and I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they just... Here's my gut, and I'm not forgiving it. I think this team is kind of demoralized by how horrendous the offense has been. I honestly think firing Phil Longo from Luke Fickell was a tell that he knew that this team... it's not like I hate between the offense and defense, but I get this vibe that the defense is deflated by how inept and impotent the offense has been. That I feel like it affected their performance against Nebraska. Like, it's just the effort.
I would agree. And I think it has more to do with the special teams was bad in this game, too. I mean, they missed 2 field goals.
Yep.
The offense got off to a slow start. And it was one of those bad matchups. It felt a little bit like the USC game where Nebraska had some towering wide receivers. And they kind of picked on the Badgers' corners a little bit. Ricardo Hallman had some bad moments in this game. But it just kind of quickly snowballed. It felt like the entire second half of USC for a full game for
yes.
the defense.
And if you're that defense, and I'm not forgiving any of it, but one, what's your mindset coming into the game after playing that amazing defensive performance against Oregon, one of the top offenses in college football, and your offense just can't do anything of note outside of like one what feels like a lucky throw to Vinny Anthony?
Well, the 2 touchdown passes to Bryson Green were nice throws. Both the touchdown
passes.
I'm talking
against Oregon.
Oh, against Oregon?
That's your mindset coming into the game. The defense is like, oh, man. Like, why? Like, I'm not saying they come in like we're not going to try, but it's just one of those, like, we played a game of a lifetime, a game that should have made us legends with Wisconsin because these are still kids. These are still young men. So there you have that in your head. And we did that against Penn State, too. And so this lingers for you. And then all of a sudden, was there other letdown was after Penn State? And then it goes on the road to Iowa.
Yeah.
So
you know, and these road games,
yes,
defense does not play nearly as well.
True, but also they're coming off performances where their offense has basically underperformed, has not helped them out. And so the defense maybe comes in with not the most locked-in mindset. Also, there's something to be said about going from Oregon to Nebraska, and it's not right, but in your head, you need to prepare for Nebraska like you do Oregon, and then you're going to kick the snot out of Nebraska. They didn't do that.
They made Dylan Raiola look like Dylan Gabriel.
Right. Now, there's a little bit with Nebraska where he looked like that early, and then the offense went off the rails, and they brought in Dana Holgerson off the sidelines. He was like a special assistant in the last 2 games. Raiola's played better. They now have a 2-game winning streak, and he's looked capable, which is something that an offensive coordinator can do. But I also think there was something in the mindset of the defense, you start to get behind, you're not playing perfect, and then you start trying to play outplay yourself. You go for a big hit instead of a clean tackle. You maybe go out of, you lose gap assignment because you're trying to make a play because you don't trust the offense. So I think it's more than just the defense as a whole. I do think there's a lot going on with this team, but I do think a lot of it comes from they haven't played complimentary football really since, the Northwestern game?
Rutgers, Northwestern, yeah. I mean, Northwestern, you could say that it wasn't even really complimentary. The offense wasn't great that game. Purdue was all around good everywhere, but
yeah.
Even at its best, what would you say this defense is? Like, scale of 1 to 10? I mean,
it's hard to say because what they did against Oregon should be repeatable.
It should be, but, I mean, that's a lot of them bowing up in the red zone. They gave up a lot of yards in that game, too. I mean, they played really well, and they played well against Penn State, too. But I think even at their best, they're not elite, right?
No. I feel like they should have the expectation year in and year out to be like a top 5 in the Big Ten, where that puts them overall.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that should be top 20.
Yeah, so like that's what they need to be. Because let's be honest, at times, and I'm talking in this Big Ten.
Exactly.
Because let's be honest with ourselves a little bit. The defense at times when it's like, oh, we're top 10 in the country. And then when you played like a bowl game, like it didn't necessarily show up. So
well,
like,
once again, that's the offense not providing the support.
True, but I mean, like, I always thought the Badgers, even when they had like top 5 defenses, were more like top 15. Like if you put them like truly up against the top
maybe
defenses.
Maybe not top 5, but they had some really good defenses.
Well, top 15 is a really good defense.
Yes.
And so I do think Wisconsin should have the expectation, we'll just say like this, a top 25 defense. I think having a top 25 defense and in the end a top 25 offense is not out of the question. And that puts you kind of what I think you'd get year in and year out of the Wisconsin Badgers. But I want to move past that game because I want to talk about a game the Badgers I think have a good chance, a pick-em's chance to win, and that's against Minnesota. You could be a winner by going to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. That's where winners go. Millions of dollars are won every single week. Over $1 million are won every single weekend at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. Go be a winner and go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. So the Badgers have one of the biggest games I can think of, at least since Brett Bielema has left, coming up here against Minnesota. And I posted this question on social media. I got one response saying that this was the biggest game since the Badgers played Michigan State in Japan, and a fan tweeted out a picture of a towel he got from that game. It's an amazing piece of memorabilia. And then we had someone else saying, ah, who cares? Badgers are beneath, this is beneath the Badgers. Bowl game or not, this season is terrible. I'm going to disagree with you on that. Bowl game makes a difference. We can still be disappointed in the season, but a bowl game to me, it's not like quite like just like making the playoffs is important in the NFL, but like a bowl game is like a bare minimum. And if the Badgers don't make a bowl game, they haven't done the bare minimum. And that's kind of what I look at it for the season. I'm not happy with it, but at least they showed up to class. You know, it's like one of those things. Like if you're taking a class, like what's the bare minimum? Show up, do some of the homework. Like I just want the bare minimum out of the Badgers this year, which is a bowl game.
I was gonna ask, the way you phrased the tweet, I thought was actually perfect, where you said offseason vibes are very different if they lose.
Yes.
Do you think the offseason vibes are better if they win? Like, not saying that, like, obviously they not have lost, so that's better. But do you think that there's really much to truly gain outside of bowl games when it comes to morale for the fan base?
Yeah. Okay. Look at it like this. Last year we were pretty low, and they beat Nebraska and Minnesota. And the vibes were better than they were at that point. The vibes are very low right now.
The vibes are the lowest they've been in the
They're only going to get lower, so it's not even...
But I'm saying, will the vibes get higher than where they are right now if they make the bowl game?
Incrementally. Because here's the thing. It's senior day. People feel good about winning on senior day. It's the Axe game at Minnesota. It's the rivalry. You end your season, and you keep your bowl streak alive. So that, I think, you feel 10% better.
If it wasn't for the bowl streak, would it really matter that much?
Still the rivalry game. Like, losing to Minnesota, okay, just fix it. Especially, it's the last game of the year. If you lost to Minnesota week 5, and this is, like, Nebraska, because Nebraska's not really a rivalry game. I mean, it is, but, like,
trophy,
it's
whatever.
Minnesota at the end of the season, ending the year with the Axe, senior day at home. It just you feel a little better.
Speaking of Nebraska and Minnesota going back-to-back games, Nebraska also storming the field against Wisconsin after they won because it was their first time making a bowl now since 2016. It was a big win for them.
Yeah.
Do you Do you think if Wisconsin beats Minnesota on Friday that the student section will storm the field?
God, I hope not. Right? I understand why Nebraska did it. I'm not going to get on them for why. You know, Nebraska,
they deserved it. It was a long time coming.
But it speaks to your initial question. Bowl games matter. Like, keeping that streak going matters.
Does it matter enough for the students to storm the field against Minnesota?
I think we tried to do the math yesterday on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Mark Tauscher brought this up. But you get, 14 extra practices times however many years. I think the Badgers, 150-plus bonus practices because of going to a bowl game.
Yeah.
That matters. And this team needs practice. They need more practices. At the same time, I'm ready for the season to be over. You can, whether you're looking for a better buying experience, you can get it at Simon Chevy in Mount Horeb, whether it's a new or new to you, Silverado, Colorado, over at Simon Chevy in Mount Horeb. You're only minutes away from a better buying experience at Simon Chevy in Mount Horeb. You can go out there and say, what's up to my guys, Tyler and Aaron over at Simon Chevy in Mount Horeb. So a lot of, I said this earlier, Ryan, that there was a little bit of hey, will the Badgers get a new coach? No. Unless, I'll throw out this one scenario. I don't remember Gary Anderson's record when the Badgers played in the Big Ten title game and he left to go to Oregon State. But the program did not feel like it was on an upward swing. So Gary Anderson leaving was kind of not a surprise. Slightly. He was not in danger of being fired. But he left. Kind of got out before the pitchforks arrived. And Bielema, you can make the same case. I believe they went 8-5 his last year. And so, they got to the Big Ten title, but I feel like that was the year where there was seven suspended teams.
Was that
teams.
The year when they beat Nebraska in the Big Ten title game? Because Penn State and Ohio State were ineligible?
Yes, and Ohio State, I'm sorry, Penn State should still be ineligible. But that's a whole other thing. They probably should just killed the program.
I don't know, Ohio State, those tattoos, those are pretty those are pretty graphic. I'm not sure if we should be able to overcome that.
That's true. So, either way, that's how Wisconsin got there. And then Bielema maybe got out of town a little early. Because who knows? Because then, he's doing fine at Illinois. But let's be honest, he went to Arkansas and took a program that was on the downward spiral and just jumped right in the driver's seat and took him straight on down with him. So, him getting out, he left before the pitchforks arrived. I'm not saying Luke Fickell would do that, but that's the only way it's happening. Is that if Luke Fickell read the tea leaves and was like, you know what? Oregon State's not that bad. You know, Arkansas, that sort of school of all right, go to Arkansas. There's a lot of money there, and I can be a head coach. Arkansas, I believe, just got a new head coach, so I don't think it's actually Arkansas, but I wouldn't put it out of the complete possibility, but I will say this, that's the only possibility that Luke Fickell is not the head coach of the Badgers next year. So let's live in the real world. Offensive coordinator. I don't want to get into, we threw out some names before. We did that last week. I'm kind of just on the Tom Herman train. Here's the thing. I don't see Luke Fickell, and I want to get into this. He's not going to bring in someone, I don't think, with ties to the Badgers that someone he does not know really well, and someone ties to the old school way of doing things at Wisconsin. I'm not even saying, is it Jason Eck? Is that his name?
Jason Eck, the head coach at Idaho, FCS, the Vandals, one of the best teams at that level.
I'm not even going to say he would cause a problem. But if you bring in someone from a different era, does that start creating sort of a
tension?
Yeah, a past and a present tension. So I'm not saying that Eck would be that guy, but I'm not bringing in a former Badger as a important coordinator. That's just not what I'm going to do.
What about defensive coordinator?
Well,
one, James Leonard.
That's not going to happen. You want to talk about a divide and bad vibes. That ain't it.
Hey, look, on Badgers Twitter, people are pounding the table for this right now. Yeah. I don't think Mike Trussell deserves to be moved on from at this point. I think the defense still has good bones.
Yeah.
But you've seen a lot of the bring back Jim Leonard vibes.
With all due respect to Jim Leonard, he never saw a schedule like the Badgers saw this year. And I'm not forgiving the game against Nebraska, but can we just pull down our cardinal and white colored glasses and be like, you know what, though? The Big Ten West was honestly pretty abysmal compared to what the Badgers have to face now. And I'm not giving this Badgers defense a pass, but let's not pretend that Jim Leonard arrives and this Badgers defense is top 10 in the country.
I mean, he's got a lot of his former players balling out in the NFL right now. I mean, there's Zach Bond, Leo Chenal,
TJ Edwards. So it's a recruiting thing, and he wasn't a recruiter.
Well, he was good at developing these guys, though, too. I mean, these guys were coming in as quarterbacks and leaving as Pro Bowl linebackers.
Okay, okay.
I mean, there's something to be said.
But now, he was safeties and secondary coach.
Exactly. Yeah. True. And yeah. That was the one thing they were missing, and that's the one point of optimism for the Fickell and the Trussell era, is that their DBs are going to be very good.
And I like Jim Leonard. I don't like the let's look back at the glory days. Everything in the past was great. I'm honestly, here's the thing. I'm not a look backwards guy. Like, I'm a look forwards person. And, like, looking at Jim Leonard and Paul Christ, Paul Christ is backwards. Jim Leonard, it's not happening. So, like, stop with this, him as D coordinator. And also, let's stop pretending. Are the Badgers slightly better with Jim Leonard? Yeah, because maybe if the quarterback gets hurt and you're not running the air raid, then maybe it matters less. But, like, what, a game? Like, this is not a playoff team if Jim Leonard's the coach.
No, it's definitely not a playoff team. But they have a bowl. We know they have a bowl, for sure.
That is true. Because, you know, he beat Nebraska 15-14 to get bowl eligible last time. I mean, just dominating performance.
I mean, bowl's a bowl.
Players he recruited.
As we said, right?
The
bowl's a bowl.
Right. But, I just like the Polk Holes, but I also like Jim Leonard. But I also feel pretty confident and sane, and we get back to the offensive coordinator position. He was not going to run Paul Christ's offense if Jim Leonard took over. He was going to run some variation of the power spread. I feel pretty good authority that's what would have happened if Jim Leonard was going to be the head coach. It was not going to be Paul Christ's offense.
Interesting.
They were not going to do that. Because that offense, the way that Paul runs it, is pretty rare in college football. And realistically, I actually think it's harder to recruit that offense. Because you look at, like, Michigan. Well, Michigan's got the best damn players in the country. And so, yes, you can run whatever offense you want to run. And you can run an offense that says, we have 15 plays, and we're just going to ram it down your throat because we're just better than you.
They have that one position they're missing, though, on that offense.
Right, but maybe not anymore. They pay for quarterback.
$10 million is $10 million.
Yeah. But my point is, the power spread, whether it's Notre Dame or Cincinnati back, obviously with Fickell, you see Ohio State run it. A lot of schools run a power spread. Power spread is what I want to see at Wisconsin, which is why I go back to, I feel like Tom Herman, I feel like he's probably a good recruiter. He had to coach at Texas, in Ohio at Ohio State, and Florida at Florida Atlantic University. So I think he's one of those guys, maybe not a great head coach, but a good coordinator. He could basically run the offense because he's been a head coach. So he could be the head coach of the offense. He can recruit because he's had to recruit those areas. He's had to recruit at Ohio State and Texas, so he knows how to recruit big time. And then also he has some new inroads down in Florida because he was down there at Florida Atlantic University, but he knows how to run this offense. And him and Fickell, and back to my original point, I don't see a world where Luke Fickell's not bringing in an ally. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I'd rather bring in someone you're on the same page with. And I'd rather take him over Gaidele. How do you say his name?
Gaidele
from Notre Dame, who had ties to Cincinnati. Just because I feel like Tom Herman, the recruiting, it's more established. Like, we can't take a swing and miss this time. So if you have a guy like Tom Herman who would be open to being an OC, who maybe you have to pay a little bit more than Fickell, the Badgers, and Ryan, you can share your stat on this before we get to Ben Strickland, who's going to be joining the show, Badger legend, specifically around this Minnesota game. We'll get to him in a minute. But with this assistant pool, like, maybe you can get him for $1.5 million again for Herman. He's probably got buyout money left over from Texas and FAU. I don't know exactly how that works. So you might be able to get him for that dollar amount. And I like that because he's established. He can recruit. And, like, best case scenario, he's here for a few years. The offense takes off, and you go somewhere else. But that's fine.
Then you know if he runs that power spread?
At Ohio State, he was the OC there, so I would imagine he can run it.
Yeah. I mean, from what I know about him, he's one of those guys who was, like, an offensive coordinator savant when he was hired as, I think, Houston's head coach and then went to Texas, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So he was one of the hotter names back in the day. But I think you're right. With the buyouts that he's gotten from – I believe the buyout I saw from FAU was like $4 million.
Yeah,
so it wasn't crazy.
Sure Houston, well, not Houston wouldn't have a buyout, but Texas.
Texas probably still does. He's probably going to be living fine in that category. But that does bring to the topic that you mentioned of, like, assistant coaching salaries and the pool for salaries. Because I saw this earlier in the week, and Kurt Cignetti, the incredible head coach at Indiana, who, by the way, did get crushed by Ohio State this past weekend, record and schedule both matter. But he got a big new extension from Indiana over the past couple weeks. $8 million salary in his new extension. And along with that, he's going to be getting an $11 million salary pool every year for his assistant coaches as well. According to this report from Jared Kelly of 24/7 Sports, Ohio State this season bumped its assistant salary pool to $11.43 million. So when you're trying to compare what the Badgers are playing with and what the teams that they're playing against are committing to their funds and to their assistant coaches, I mean, the fact that Wisconsin apparently only has a total salary pool of $5.6 million this year, that's based off some numbers I was able to pull from the Wisconsin State Journal article posted back at the beginning of January. I mean, how can they be expected, even if they can get a guy like Tom Herman, maybe takes a discount to come in, or another offensive coordinator? Like, you're severely limiting your options of guys you can go get. I mean, we talked about, you know, Mike Denbrock last week. He's the highest paid offensive coordinator in all of college football. He's making $1.5 million per year. But based off these numbers, I don't see how the Badgers could ever even try to compete with those sorts of numbers for an assistant. And when we talk about how important this hire is, like, you probably want to expand the pool of options as wide as possible, right? I mean, Tom Herman, maybe he's the guy, but you want to exhaust every possible option.
Yes and no. I go back to Barry saying you have a list. So I imagine you examine
that
list.
What if the guy on that list is Mike Denbrock? What if he's the top of that list?
I'm sure that conversation's been had. So I like where your head's at. The pay in the assistants, it could do Jim Harbaugh, take less, pay assistants more.
But even if he takes less, we're talking about half the assistant salary pool. And then you have to pay that to just one guy.
Yep.
I mean, the number needs to be higher, not just for Fickell, but for the support around him that he's getting from the administration.
And that's the catch in all this stuff with Fickell. Of like, we just don't know whether it's Paul Chryst or Jim Leonard or Luke Fickell, how Wisconsin would be competing to pay these coaches in this. Like, the Wisconsin still needs more money to compete the way that fans want to compete. If Indiana is paying more for assistance than you, you can't complain about Indiana being better than you. No. Like, you just can't. And so that's the other part of this. And I do worry that Wisconsin would come to Nebraska in this effect, not because Luke Fickell's their coach, is that they don't catch up with the times. Nebraska took forever to get out of their old school triple option. A long time to get out of those roots, and then it took them a long time to get, and they still aren't back. But Wisconsin is more, I'm more concerned they fall behind based off of not paying people. But this is the big game coming up, and we're excited to be joined by our next guest, who also has FAU ties. So, yeah, we're going to get to Ben Strickland here in a second. We also want to hear from our friends at Game Day as well. So we'll take a quick break, and then we will continue the conversation. The Jump Around is available at Wisconsin On Demand, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. And you're also obviously watching this on YouTube right now. But if you missed any of today's show, you can watch back on ESPN Madison's YouTube page as well. We'll step aside here, and we'll come back, and we'll hear from Ben Strickland.
Staying on top of our game is one of the hardest things to do. At Game Day Men's Health, we specialize in testosterone replacement therapy, weight loss, erectile dysfunction, and wellness. Proven to increase energy, build muscle, improve mood, and boost sex drive. Get started now and book your free consultation and testing. You'll get test results back in minutes, and we'll create a plan to optimize your health. Game Day Men's Health. Book your free consultation today.
The Jump Around 3.0 continues, and we're thrilled to be joined by a familiar face on whether it's Jump Around and ESPN Madison, although I feel like it's more bearded than I remember. But Ben Strickland is joining the show now, former Badger player, former Badger coach, also coached a little bit at my alma mater, FAU. Ben, thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And currently you are coaching De Pere High School, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, just south of Green Bay.
Nice. Well, before we get into all of that, and I want to catch up with you and what you've been up to, and I want to talk about, obviously, you got a great history for Badger fans with Minnesota. Let's see the highlight, and then we'll get into us chatting.
Here's the punt coming from Kusa.
Coming after it.
Oh, he fumbled it. It's blocked, unbelievably. Wisconsin with a chance to pounce. Who's got it? Badgers! Unbelievable! Simply shocking!
Good. Well, it was great for Badger fans who have had a tough year. Wanted to see the look of shock and dismay on all the Minnesota Gopher fans' face in that ESPN highlight. But, Ben, walk us through your own play-by-play of that play and kind of your emotions and everything after it all happened and how it went down.
Yeah, I mean, I remember during the course, every week we had like a block of the week depending upon what teams were presenting. You know, I think the bigger thing was, you know, we got kind of back into the game because of a Brandon Williams score, right? Made an unbelievable catch where he almost got his helmet ripped off. And that, you know, put us down, you know, within a one score game. Our defense hadn't done a great job of stopping Lawrence Maroney all game. And so, you know, finally did, got a three and out. And then used our timeouts and was an opportunity for us to go on the field and execute the block that we had talked about during the course of the week. We had a middle twist going on between myself and Zach Hampton, who were both off the ball, and then Jonathan Casillas was to come off the edge. So, you know, obviously him fumbling it, you know, gave us enough time to be able to get there, and John did a great job of blocking it and then just saw the ball bouncing around. I didn't even kind of pay attention to where Casillas was. You kind of see me shove him out of the way. I kind of joke with him nowadays that, you know, I was trying to, you know, he couldn't take all the glory. So I had to, you know, jump on the ball there. And then just, it was obviously an amazing turn of events. Much like, you know, my favorite part of that is looking back on it, is seeing the face of the Gopher fans, you know, probably more than anything. And then we had the kickoff, we kicked the ball off and caused a fumble. So then we were just able to kneel the clock out, and that was the end of the game. So it was a pretty dramatic turn of events, and you see guys on the field right now. I remember Danny Kay is on the field goal unit, and Danny was pushing people off because, you know, much like Coach Alvarez was waving people to get off the field, there was guys that just ran on the field, and a couple of our teammates that weren't on either unit, either punt return or field goal, thought the game was over. And it was like, no, we had some time left. And so that's why you see number 64, Danny Kay, pushing guys off the field.
Obviously, beating Minnesota was big. You talked about it. The fourth quarter was big. Going into the fourth quarter, you guys were down 27-17. And like that's where the scoring, you get it with 27-24. And then another touchdown from Minnesota, but you're able to get it taken care of. What was Coach Alvarez's reaction to you guys on the sideline when the game was settled? When you won
yeah,
that
just
game?
I think like all of us was like shock and elation, and you know, I mean, obviously he's been coaching for a long time, but you know, hard to be a part of games like that very frequently. So I think he was just enjoying the moment, and I know he's hugging all the coaches and players and stuff like that, anybody he could hug. So,
and that was his last year as a coach, is that right? Because then Brett Bielema came in the following year as a head coach. So that obviously, to get that last win for him had to be special.
Yeah, it was the last season as head coach, and you know, Brett was the head coach in waiting, and so, you know, knew that, and obviously didn't want to be the team that lost the axe. You know, my time there, my redshirt freshman year, or my redshirt year, is the year that they had the field goal to win. And after that, you know, obviously we held on to it for a long time, and you never wanted to be the team that lost the axe.
So to that, this game coming up on Sunday, and obviously you're still a proud former Badger and obviously still in the state, the game feels very big. And you could talk about it, whether as a coach or as a player, how do you kind of negate some of that bigness for the players? Because it's senior day. The bowl streak is on the line. It's Axe Week. And then, like, just also the vibes of this year are going to feel way different going into the offseason if you end it with a win at home against Minnesota, keep the bowl streak alive, keep the axe, win for seniors, as opposed to if it loses, it's going to be a black cloud over the entire offseason. One, I would say, as a player, how did you manage games like this with big emotions? And then also as a coach, how do you manage games like that with big emotions?
Well, I think just, you know, it's about coming together, you know, everybody doing their job, and you know, the moment's big enough as it is. You don't need to make it any bigger. And, you know, the rivalry game and you know, playing for the axe. And so, you know, the focus became just on doing your job, doing it the best of your abilities. And, you know, from an emotional standpoint, it came down to making sure that, you know, you're more physical than the guy across the line from you. And that was always stuff that Brett and Coach Alvarez talked about, you know, in the years that I was playing, was just, you know, it's, you knew it was going to be a physical ball game. It didn't matter the records, didn't matter what happened during the course of the season. This was the time to go out, execute, and you know, have the season be a success because you beat one of your biggest rivals.
And so this season, obviously, heck, the Luke Fickell let go of Phil Longo during the season. That's a little different. The players, obviously, with NIL and all that's a little different as well here. But as the players kind of head into the offseason and there's a new coordinator coming to town, I wanted to ask you, and you don't have to get like great detail, but as someone who's played in the Big Ten and has obviously still follows the Badgers and is a coach himself, like, this air raid maybe isn't exactly what Wisconsin will work here. I know at Cincinnati, Luke Fickell ran more of a power spread. Same at Ohio State, obviously, when he was defensive coordinator, they ran that. Offensively, how do you think the Badgers can kind of blend moving into more of a maybe a more modern era than what Paul ran at Wisconsin, but without going to what at times can feel gimmicky in the air raid and maybe doesn't work as well in the Big Ten? Even though the Big Ten's expanded, it's still a tougher offense to maybe recruit the skill players needed to do that at Wisconsin.
Well, I think just the biggest thing is, you know, whether it's offense, defense, you know, at the college game, obviously you have the ability to recruit. And so you have to understand who you are and what your identity is. But that can look a lot of different ways. I mean, it could be air raid and taking advantage in numbers, but still being able to simplify the box and run the ball. You know, or it could be getting to 21-12 personnel or 22 personnel and running the ball downhill and play action pass. And I think it's just, you know, any good system, you know, is playing to your strengths and understanding, you know, the type of kids that you're going to be able to bring into the program, you know, how you being different, that can be an advantage. And I think for a long time at Wisconsin, it was because there's a lot of teams that were doing a lot of the same things. And we were lining up in the eye and, you know, running the ball downhill, play action pass. I think we got a little bit, you know, once we got like Russell Wilson in 2011, right, there was a little bit more versatility to what we were doing. So I think it just really comes down to, you know, what your kids are, you know, your overall philosophy fitting the types of kids that you have in your program and the overall philosophy of your program as a whole, and making sure that, you know, you're putting the players ahead of anything, right? Players before plays, and making sure that you're maximizing each player and what they do well. And, you know, I think, you know, with the you know, offensive line obviously always being a staple of Wisconsin, running backs, right? You want to be able to continue to run the ball effectively, and any good team, you know, can run the ball effectively. But being able to add another dimension just makes you that much harder. So, you know, I think, you know, whether they continue to go this direction or not, I think it's just you're going to get what you emphasize. And if you're emphasizing, you know, throwing the ball, you better throw the ball well. If you're emphasizing running the ball, right, you got to hang your hat on it. So, but I think, you know, defensively, it was good to see, you know, the guys play the way they did against Oregon. And again, it was how they played the game versus the outcome of it. And I think, you know, kind of the same thing offensively and special teams is how you play and you know, how you are attacking the other team and what you're about is more important than, you know, maybe the outcome here as you know, the season is dragged on. So, again, it's just, you know, resetting the identity of what you want to be about and, you know, really leaning into that and emphasizing every day in practice. And I think that's what Coach Alvarez and Coach Bielema did a great job of during my tenure there as a player is, you know, we knew what type of outfit we were. I mean, Coach Alvarez always used that word outfit. And so, you know, we're going to be a physical outfit. We're going to be disciplined. We're going to be tough. We're going to be where we're supposed to be. And, you know, we're going to make sure that, you know, we maximize our potential by how we develop in the off season, and then making sure that we understood the game and played smart football.
Talking with Ben Strickland, who is now the head coach at DeBeer High School. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about, so with the NIL, you've seen, obviously you played college football and then you coached as a DB coach with Wisconsin and then a little bit with FAU.
And then now you got back into coaching as a high school coach, and there's talk that there could be some sort of NIL even on the high school level. So how do you think, because obviously you've been out of college football before the NIL came in, but you have kids going to college and NIL could be on the table for them and maybe comes in for high school. How do you think NIL has changed recruiting and trying to be a coach, whether it's college or high school level?
I mean, I think it's just throwing another factor into the recruiting equation. You know, and maybe that factor has a multiplier in terms of, you know, drawing kids in. But I think at the end of the day, it's finding that right fit, both, you know, for the kid coming in as well as the kid for the university and the school he's going to play for. Because, you know, if one school is offering you a couple thousand more than the other school, is it really worth it? And so making those decisions about, you know, all the factors and how they play in, and finding guys that want to be there for the right reasons, that are a right fit for the program and make you better. But also, you know, making sure that, again, this is a business once you get to the college level. And so you have to maximize your time and maximize your potential. And, you know, you can either take that in a short-term perspective, or you can take in the long-term perspective of a program that's going to develop you. And so, again, that's, you know, do you capitalize on a finite opportunity, or do you see, you know, the big picture? And I think that's where, you know, those different factors come in at the college level now, and, you know, takes, you know, everybody being on the same page of what that looks like, you know, at the University of Wisconsin compared to other places.
With Coach Fickell, obviously, he's in a tough spot because he comes in and he replaces a beloved coach in Paul Chryst, who maybe wasn't quite didn't have the program built up to handle the NIL side of it. You know, the coaching stuff, I think, would have taken care of itself. So now Fickell comes in, and then he runs the air raid. Jim Leonard leaves. There's not a lot of former Badgers around. So from a optics part of it, I think fans are just, you know, people get restless when there's not familiarity. How important is it for a coaching staff to balance the nod towards the past when you were kind of brought in to maybe bring the team into the future, but also acknowledging that there are former players, whether they're as coaches or just former players in general, who can be ambassadors for the program? How difficult do you think it is to walk that line of acknowledging the past that you weren't a part of while trying to build a different looking program that still kind of follows into what was successful from the past?
Yeah, I mean, I was around during the transition from Coach Bielema to Coach Anderson. And, you know, with Coach Aranda, you know, brought in the 3-4 defense, and, you know, people don't maybe focus as much defensively as they do offensively about changes, but it was a system that was different from what we did. You know, it was a little bit more aggressive, but it tended, you know, it worked because it, you know, again, it was a scheme that was allowed to fit around our players. And so I think offensively, you know, if we're having success in their air raid, then nobody's asking questions.
Right.
If, you know, there's, you know, some, you know, lack of buy-in, or if there's, you know, success that isn't happening on the field, then there's a lot of questions that get raised. And so, again, it's going back to, you know, what do you want the blueprint to be of, you know, your football team as a whole? How does the defense, you know, fit into that? How does the offense fit into that? How do the special teams fit into that? And I think, you know, offensively, right, it's, you know, I think there's ways to be able to create mismatches and gap issues and things like that, and both the run and the pass game, because, you know, you look at this state this year, and right now there's 5 Division I tight ends in this state. You know, one of them's going to Madison, and you got one going to Notre Dame, one going to West Virginia. So there's talent enough in this state at certain positions that you want to make sure you capitalize on. And, you know, you could still be in, you know, a certain system, but, you know, you want to match your personnel to that system and how, you know, you can have continued success based on, you know, recruiting what you can get.
So you stepped aside from coaching in 2017. You got back into it at the high school level in 2022. You went 6-3 this year, got to the playoffs last year, named Green Bay Packers High School Coach of the Week. So congratulations on the success so far. But what made you want to get back into coaching, and why at the high school level?
Yeah, I mean, I when I got done at FAU in 2016, me and my wife decided to move back to Wisconsin. You know, college coaching, as you can see with some of the stuff that's happened this year, isn't the most stable industry. And so, you know, wanted to be able to raise a family and build a home and build it within a community. So my wife lives up this her family's from up this way, which is why we made the move up here. So far, it's been great. You know, I've missed the competitiveness that goes along with the instability of college coaching. But at the same time, you know, you find joy in other ways. You know, I part of me hopes that NIL doesn't get involved in, at the high school level, because, I mean, at what point are we going to be amateur athletics and then, you know, move forward to professional athletics? So, you know, but I also see, you know, how that would benefit, you know, certain students that maybe don't come from great backgrounds and need that support. And so, yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed different aspects of the college and high school, you know, games. They are different, but it's all still football. It's all still kids. It's all relationships. It's all about, you know, trying to get a group of people together to, you know, build towards a common goal together and plan each other's strengths and you know, through thick and thin, stay through it together. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it a ton. Looking forward to continuing going on here. I mean, my son's only in kindergarten, so he's got a ways to go till football season starts. But we're getting him going to wrestling because he's starting to get into tackle football. So want to make sure he tackles the right way.
Well, he's a long way from being recruited, but what's it like being on the other side of the recruiting side of it too? Like as a coach, that you have, like, obviously you knew some of the top players in the state if having competed against them and otherwise, but also coaches from anywhere coming to talk to you. Like, well, how do you talk to the coaches? How do you advise your players, having kind of seen all sides of this?
Yeah, I mean, every school is different in how they're going to recruit. Some people involve the high school coach, and some people just go directly to the kid. You know, and not that that's right, wrong, or you know, whatever. But, you know, I know it used to be where, you know, college coaches came in the school, got the background on the kid, you know, really developed a relationship with the high school coach, whereas, you know, that's not as much there anymore. You know, recruiting is a little bit more transactional. You still have some schools that do that and do a great job of, you know, recruiting a kid, getting to know them, finding out if they're a fit, and, you know, having that collaborative process happen with recruiting. And there's others that, you know, they can connect directly with the kid through social media, so they'll do that and then start to recruit them. So it's really about educating the kid and the families about that recruiting process, and there are differences, and you want to make sure that you know, they're making decisions based on what they value and they see for their future. And so, like I said, there's a lot of different factors that you know are involved in that. So it's making sure that you're keeping the best interest of the kid at mind. You know, they feel like they have, you know, you in their corner as their high school coach, and sometimes you have to ask the hard questions that maybe they're not willing to do that. So I still think that the high school coach is an integral part of this process in football, especially because, you know, there is no AAU football yet, you know, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, there is stuff going on. I mean, I know when I was down in Florida, we had, you know, some connections with 7-on-7 coaches and all that kind of stuff, but it still came down to the fact that, you know, you play high school for your high school team. And so it's, you know, it's a tough process, and, you know, numbers are changing too with going to 105 roster spots. And, you know, what does that mean for walk-ons? What does that mean for how schools are going to move forward with the recruiting process? Can they scholarship 105 at the FBS level, or, you know, are they going to have to still have some walk-ons? So, you know, there's things to navigate there, but again, it's just, you know, teaching kids like ball's ball, right? Finding the right fit for you, where you have the best opportunity to develop and have a great experience playing the game and going to school.
How did the Badgers recruit when you were here, and do you know how they recruit now as far as coaches versus players directly?
Yeah, I mean, when I was there, I mean, and under Coach Alvarez and Coach Bielema, we had one primary in-state recruiter, and I was that my only year as a full-time coach at Brett. And then under Coach Anderson, I was still the in-state recruiting coordinator, but we just felt like, you know, and you know, I do give you know, I appreciated Coach Anderson for this because he wanted guys to get out in the state and help and make sure that we weren't missing anybody. And so, you know, we had different guys kind of in different areas. And I think they've done that somewhat similarly, is they kind of, as far as what I understand it now, they kind of regionally have coaches in the state of Wisconsin recruiting the state. And then obviously they have their own regions outside of the state. So, that's my perspective and how they're doing it now. When Coach Fickell got the job, I mean, he went old school and he went on the road by himself and, you know, went out and saw the coaches and talked to them. And, you know, I thought we had a great conversation, and, You know, I think the guy's a good guy. Want to see him do well. Want to see him have success. That's the direction the athletic department chose. So as fellow alumni, you want to support that and try to make this place as great as it is.
So last question for you. I'll ask you for a score prediction and, like, how are you locked into this game on Friday? I mean, obviously family's around and, like, it's, you know, it's a little different the day after Thanksgiving. But, like, how important is this game for you, even years removed from playing and coaching?
Yeah, I mean, personally, right, like this is the one game that, you know, you want to see us win.
Yeah.
You know, not just because of, you know, the rivalry, but also because the guys that are on the other sideline.
Yep.
You know, the other coaches that maybe you don't think that they do things in a way that's the best way. So, yeah, I just, you know, looking forward to this game. I don't necessarily have a score prediction. You know, what was the score? Was it 38-34 back in 2005?
Yep.
It's not going to be that. I don't know if it'll be that high scored. We'll say 21-17 Badgers.
All right, I like it. Thank you for hopping on. It was good catching up.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right.
And keeping me relevant.
You're always relevant. You're a heck of a high school football coach right now. So good luck as the seasons continue.
All right, thanks so much, Jim. Take care.
We'll see you. That is, I would say, Badger legend this week, Ben Strickland with the legendary recovery off the Jonathan Casillas block. Ryan, you have obviously no memory of that, I would imagine.
2005, I was 6 years old. I got to be honest, I wasn't watching a lot of Badgers games on Saturdays. When I found the highlight, actually, that I pulled for the video stream, I was surprised by just how pixelated it was. I couldn't remember the, like, ESPN broadcast looking that blurry.
That's like when you look at the old school video games. It's more from my age when you watch, like, I'll look at, like, video games like Madden 2002 even, and you're like, this is peak. It's never going to get better than this. I feel like I'm in the
game. GoldenEye.
It looks like I'm in the game. But here's the thing. When you look at that screen right there, the graphics for Madden or college football from that season probably weren't that far off of the pixelation that you saw in this broadcast.
That's a great point.
So, like, that's the trade-off. As TV broadcasts got better, so did the games.
Well, there you go.
Before we go, Ryan, I know normally wrap up right after the interview, and thanks again to Ben Strickland for hopping on. If you missed any of it, you can listen back, Wisconsin on the Man, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. We're also on YouTube. This is a Jump Around 3.0. Carter Smith. This is a very inside football sort of podcast/show, digital show. And here's what you did. You write this, or is this your own scouting report?
Oh, yeah, this is my scouting report, Carter Smith. I went down to Fort Myers, wrote it all up for us. No, this is from 24/7's one.
I just like the scrappy part that I like.
It's how they describe him. This is from 24/7 Sports, one of the three major recruiting services. They describe Carter Smith, top 200 rated recruit, who's also the 2023 Gatorade Florida Player of the Year quarterback. He's a scrappy dual threat prospect that finds ways to win games, is likely going to need plenty of time to improve the mechanics and the footwork, but he has what it takes to elevate a power four offense that wants to move the quarterback around and get them more involved in the running game. So that's the bare bones description of what we can expect from Carter Smith.
I'm just going to ask a very sports talk radio-y question.
Let's do it.
All right. Will he have a better or worse college career than Graham Mertz, the quarterback he is closest as far as rankings recruited by? I told you, it's very sports talk radio.
He is the highest rated quarterback prospect the Badgers have had since Graham Mertz.
Yep.
Yeah, he's the second highest, I think, in all of program history.
Yep.
Will he have a better or worse career? I think that's
with the Badgers specifically.
With the Badgers.
Yes.
I'm glad you added that caveat in there, because I think it depends entirely on the Badgers coaching staff, whether he does or not. Because as you just saw, like, he's a great tools prospect, can be utilized in a lot of different ways. And I think, as Coach Strickland just said, you find ways to make plays work for the players.
Yep.
If he's a guy who needs to get out of the pocket more and just take advantage of his legs, Scott Tolzien style, maybe that's what they need to lean into.
Scott Tolzien did not.
He did a little bit.
Yeah, he was not him.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Whatever.
Russell Wilson. Every quarterback but Scott Tolzien.
Russell Wilson was a hell of a passer.
You're just showing your youth. I get it, because, like, compared to, like, Hornibrook or Jack Cohen,
exactly.
Scott Tolzien. But Scott Tolzien was statuesque compared to, like, Brooks Bollinger, Stocko, Tyler Donovan. Those guys were those scrappy little, like, running backs who could throw the ball 25 yards in the air.
And you would expect this Carter Smith, he should be a guy who's more than just scrappy runner. Like, he has, like, I think he's stacked up like 4,000 career yards as a rusher in high school. Like, he's a guy who will be a legitimate running threat it'll be a lot different than what I think we're used to seeing out of Badgers quarterbacks. But I think with the power spread, and as we've talked about, like, you take advantage of any of the inefficiencies or any edges you can get. Having a guy who can win multiple ways, having an offense that can win multiple ways, we've never seen that at Wisconsin. So it's interesting, beyond him as a prospect, this style of quarterback. I think if the Badgers coaching staff is worth its salt, they will find a way to be able to make him have a great career. He could have a Desmond Ridder type career with Wisconsin. I mean, that's probably what the ceiling you would expect out of him. Now, NFL, you know, career afterwards.
Folks, you're the one that actually sends out the clips from this. So clip yourself saying he's going to have a better career than Desmond Ridder.
I mean, if he does, we should be well over the moon happy.
Yeah, if he has 80% of Desmond Ridder's run in Cincinnati, I will be thrilled. This is the point to be excited about is recruiting is still high with Coach Fickell. I think you're allowed.
Very good recently.
I think defensive coordinator. Yeah, Jim Leonard probably would have been better. Jim Leonard, it is. Can people stop? As you mentioned it, now I look at my timeline. It's a less than zero chance. He's not coming back to be the defensive coordinator. Luke Fickell would never bring him back. Because here's what happened. Yeah. If McIntosh, like in this imaginary world, because this is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. In this imaginary world, let's say Chris McIntosh goes to Fickell and says, you got to bring Leonard back. We're going to pay him amount of money. You're going to do it. And Jim Leonard says, fine, for legacy and being a, I mean, this is all insane. And being a Badger and being back home in Madison, I'll do it. Because the legacy to me is more important than my pride or anything else. I'll come in and be the D coordinator. Fickell's leaving. Like, he's not going to hire his replacement. Like, you know how untenable that would be?
Talk about tension.
They're not friends. I'm not saying they're enemies, but they're not buddies. Like, what was
they coached a game together.
Great. How'd that go?
Guaranteed rape bowl. They won. They won that game.
How was the interpersonal? I guarantee that was super awkward.
I mean, everything about that game was awkward.
Yes.
I mean, Luke Fickell just kind of standing on the sidelines, not coaching, but on the sidelines talking to players. No,
here's the thing. They were respectable because there's mutual respect. Jim Leonard, a hell of a football player, Big Ten, NFL, a hell of a football coach, a football guy. Luke Fickell has been in Jim Leonard's shoes at Ohio State. And then he ended up going to Cincinnati and had the career that he has had so far. There's mutual respect. But that does not mean also he's firing his friend, who, I'm sorry, the defense has been fine. It has not been great, but it's been fine.
It's been far better than the offense.
Exactly. The defense is not the problem on this team. You want to talk about continuity, which we talk about all the time. Getting rid of the defensive coordinator just because isn't really what's in my like top 10 things we need to fix with this team. You keep the O-line coach. I think he's doing a good job. The O-line looks good this year. Not against Nebraska, but otherwise it's looked good. We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The defense, on the whole for this year, there's been Iowa and Nebraska bad games. The rest have been good. So it's not perfect. We need a higher standard. But again, I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And offensively, like O-line coach is really the only thing. And maybe running backs coach. Like, those are the only things where I'm like, keep that, and then the rest, I don't care. Do whatever you want with it. Keep it.
I would say Kenny Guyton, who's the wide receivers coach.
He'll
now
stay.
Currently the quarterback / wide receivers coach. Like, he's a very, you know, very well-established coach.
Again, I'm not saying to get rid of him. I think he will stay, especially with the ties to Fickell in Ohio State and depending on what they bring in. But the offensive coordinator is number one. And then we can get the players in the best position. Because if you get an offensive coordinator, they can establish an identity, and then more people can succeed at quarterback. All right, that's my little rant on the insane idea that Jim Leonard is coming back here to do anything but be the head coach of Wisconsin Badgers. That is more likely. Jim Leonard being the head coach of Wisconsin Badgers next season is infinitely more likely than Jim Leonard being the defensive coordinator for the Wisconsin Badgers next year. And neither is going to happen. All right, on that note, happy Thanksgiving. This has been The Jump Around.
Player of the week a few weeks ago. Here's the punt coming from Cusick.
Coming after it.
Oh, he fumbled it. It's blocked. Unbelievably. Wisconsin with a chance to pounce. Who's got it? Touchdown Badgers. Unbelievable. Simply shocking.